Hello, good morning, everyone. It's really good to be with you this morning, despite the limitations of COVID and despite having to deliver my message this morning from the office up in the manse. I'm just really pleased to be with you and to be able to join in with you. And thank you so much to those that have stepped in at the last minute to deliver the service this morning. Thank you particularly to them as well. Today we start a new series called Equip. We're going to be looking at the first four chapters of Acts. And there's a little bit of backstory to this series that I wanted to share with you before we began. Chris might have already explained to you that during our Deacons Away Day in July, we looked at the first chapter, Acts 1, and many of us found this really challenging and Chris spoke to us, encouraged us, spoke quite prophetically at points into the life of our church at the moment. And we wanted to use this opportunity to share with you some of the things we heard and learnt. It seems really timely for us at the moment to be looking at these chapters in Acts over the next couple of weeks. And I really pray that God will bless us as we learn about the early church and how they took a new shape and grew in faith and stepped out as a body of Christ into a very new situation. So, as we start now, I just want to pause for a minute and ask you to think about something in your own life. And it's all about starting something new. Maybe you've been at the beginning of a new group forming at some point, or you've taken the responsibility for leading a new project. It might be a moment in your life when everything changes, a job, a role, being a parent for the first time, a new place to live. Think about that moment of transition. Were you on your own? Were you with others? How did that feel? What sort of things were you thinking at that time of change and transition? Hold those thoughts in your mind because we're going to be reading from Acts 1 at the moment. It's a real wonderful, privileged chapter to be looking at, like a bird's eye view of something that's just about to start. The experience of the very first Christians beginning to do church together. You get a sense as you read this chapter that they're on the edge of something new, maybe not quite sure yet what to do. There's a bit of uncertainty in this chapter. There's certainly a moment of needing to wait and be patient. But things begin to happen. You can see God at work. It's a time requiring faith for those involved. But let's just have a listen now to Acts 1.
Acts 1, this morning I'm going to read it from the Message. Dear Theophilus, in the first volume of this book, I wrote on everything that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he said goodbye to the apostles, the ones he had chosen through the Holy Spirit and was taken up to heaven. After his death, he presented himself alive to them in many different settings over a period of 40 days. In face-to-face meetings, he talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. As they met and ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father promised, the promise you heard from me. John baptized in water, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and soon. When they were together for the last time, they asked, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? Is this the time? He told them, You don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you'll be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the world. These were his last words. As they watched, he was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. They stood there, staring in the empty sky. Suddenly, two men appeared in white robes. They said, "You Galileans, why do you just stand there looking up at an empty sky? This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left." So they left the mountain called Olives and returned to Jerusalem. It was a little over half a mile. They went to the upper room and that they had used as a meeting place. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James. They agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer, the women included, and also Jesus' mother Mary and his brothers.
So let's do a recap of the story so far. Luke tells us there's about 120 men and women followers of Jesus at this point. They must have had a really emotional, busy, full few years with Jesus. It was a time that must be really intense as they learned so much, as they left so much behind to follow him, as they were changed and transformed by being with Jesus and then dealing with the tragedy of his death, the miraculous experience of the resurrection, death defeated. Their whole worldview about life and death and the future must have been totally changed by their time with Jesus. It must have been a precious time spent with him, a time of listening, being with him. But now Jesus was gone. I wonder how that must have felt for them. I wonder if it left a void for them, the fact that Jesus wasn't physically with them anymore. I wonder if they missed him. I think that aside's quite interesting, the comment from the angel that asks, "Why are you looking up into the sky?" I wonder if it was a sign that they were looking around for where Jesus was, grieving him not being there. And then they were left with questions, weren't they? They hadn't got the answers to everything. What about God's kingdom now, they asked? What about Israel? So many questions still unanswered. Yet in amongst all this, they also were left with some promises that Jesus gave to them. They would receive power. The Holy Spirit would be coming on them in a new and fresh way. And then that one day he would return. So in amongst the void and the questions, there were some promises for the future. And then finally, Jesus left this incredibly challenging mission challenge, didn't he? To bear witness to him, to go out and to tell their story of all that has happened and all that had changed and who Jesus was. And it was a big brief, wasn't it? It wasn't just to their neighbours or the streets around them. It was to their nation and it was out to the world. As I was reading this passage, I thought about the image of a fledgling bird sitting on the edge of the nest, all the security behind and then on the edge of the nest. The church was a bit like this, I think, at that point. Vulnerable, but ready to fly, ready to go into the wider world. This all seems a little bit familiar, I think, for us at the moment and the reality of us doing and being church at the moment. I wonder if you felt at times like you've been stepping into something new, into a space that you weren't quite sure about. There's been points when we've probably felt a bit vulnerable, and that everything's really new and not knowing what's ahead of us. How about you? Do you long for Jesus to be more present amongst us? Do you hope to see him face to face one day? I do. And then there's the questions, isn't there? We just don't know all the answers to everything. Just like the Christians in Acts, there's still lots of questions to ask. Do we hold on to those promises that Jesus has for us? Are we longing for that power, more of God's Holy Spirit with us, the promises that were given to them in this chapter. And then finally, for us, are we holding on to that call that we have to bear witness to the good news of our Lord Jesus? I wonder if, like the early church, the task can seem quite overwhelming, particularly in our own time and our own culture, as we try to take hold of this call to be witnesses for Jesus. We too stand on the edge, don't we, of the what next as we do church. What does the Lord require of us? Over these next few months, we're going to journey into these first four chapters of Acts. And it's a great opportunity to learn from the experience of the early church at this time, as they step over into the edge, into a world where Jesus is not physically present with them. We're going to learn some really good things from them about how they got themselves organised, how God equipped them, what they learnt, and how they formed church together, how they became a Christian community. So it promises to be a really good series. I hope you're going to enjoy it. So what can we learn as a church from this first chapter in Acts that might help us at the moment in our own church life as we move forward? Well, there's a few things that I noticed that the church did at this time, which was really helpful for them. And I'm going to highlight a few of them to you now. The first thing you probably noticed is that they were obedient. At this point in their history, after Jesus had left them, a sensible thing might have been just to disperse and go back to their own lives. It certainly would have been a safer option. And yet they don't do that. Jesus asks them to stay together and to go back to Jerusalem. And notice how their leadership supported this as they went back as a community, which must have required a bit of organising. There was quite a number of them. And it made me think about leadership generally during these times of waiting or void, because I think one of the tendencies for leaders is to try and fill the space with their own ideas or to try and find solutions in their own strength. And yet the leaders don't do that. They join in with the whole community and they pray together and they're patient and they're open to what's next. And I found that extremely helpful as I looked at that this week. The other thing that we noticed is that they were prayerful. They prayed. Prayer was their go-to solution, wasn't it? It's right at the centre there of the story of everybody meeting together. And I love this picture of the prayer meeting that we get in Acts 1. There's a sense of them all being together and a quality about people praying together and coming together. And it's there's also a sense of constancy of it going on in the background there all the time. Prayer was important to them. It was important to them at this time of change and transition. They relied on prayer. And I think we can really learn from that and be encouraged by that as a church, as we continue to invest into the prayer life of our own church, as we make decisions, as we move forward, as we ask God to lead us. The third thing I noticed was that they were organised. And Chris Justice helped us with this when we looked at this on the Deacons Away Day. And it's particularly fascinating. And I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this area, because I learned a lot listening to Chris about it. So they're organised, aren't they? They're kind of pragmatic while they're waiting. The group isn't in disarray or getting incredibly anxious or worried. You get a sense that they're getting everything in order, getting their ducks in order, so to speak. It's not a kind of passive time as they're waiting, far from it. They seem to be investing in organisation, sorting out their leadership, dealing with some difficult issues, and generally just beginning to get themselves into position and ready for the Holy Spirit to use them. You could argue that they're beginning to position themselves. They're getting ready to be used, waiting, and in an organised fashion. And Chris shared a wonderful picture with us, which I've taken away from the Deacons Away Day, that I wanted to share with you today because I found it really helpful. He talked about the idea of a mighty sailing ship and the crew getting ready, the sails, and positioning the ship, turning it, getting it ready, moving it sensitively, being sensitive to where the wind was, so that the ship was ready for when the wind blew to move, and to move fast and efficient and in an efficient way. And I think that's a lovely image of this Acts 1, and also one for us, the idea of, as a team, as a whole church, beginning to get ourselves positioned, ready for the Holy Spirit to work. Some areas of church life we might view as maybe a bit mundane, but they're necessary, aren't they, for us to function as a church. Today we've got the service, after the service we've got the meeting about the constitution. And in many ways this can seem quite inconsequential when we're thinking and discussing the exciting things of vision and calling that God has given to us. And yet this is important as well, isn't it, as we go about our church business, as we do the things that we need to do to get all our ducks in line, so that when God's Spirit breathes, we are ready and functioning as a whole church together to move forward. So thank you for contributing to the business side of church life as well. And I particularly want to thank our deacons who carry out the burden of many of these day-to-day important activities that need to be done to help us to flourish as a community. Acts 1 is a great chapter. It tells us about church organisation, it tells us about prayer, it tells us about waiting, and it's honest about the reality of being and doing church while we wait for Jesus to return. It's just as important, isn't it, as Acts 2, the chapter that is to come that Chris will be talking to us about in the next sermon as part of the series. Churches need the power of God's Holy Spirit working through them, but we also need to be organised and in a position ready to be used by Him. And both are important to church life. And there's just a few more things I'd like to say about being an organised church that we see here in Acts chapter 1. The first thing is that leaders step up. We see Peter stepping forward, don't we? A new leader who's finding his voice. But there's also others in the chapter as well that are prepared to step into leadership roles. This new church moving forward needed those that were prepared to take the responsibility of leadership, to bring direction and create environments that the church could grow and flourish. And that's true for us today. And I'd like to say thank you to all of those of the last year that have stepped in and led in lots of different areas of our church life. Thank you. We couldn't move forward without you. And also like to say to some of you here that God might be calling you into some significant roles to lead within our church community. And it's really important that we do this if the Lord is calling us. The other thing we see here about the way the church organised themselves was that they formed a clear direction of where they were going and how they were going to do that together. Peter helps with that process. He speaks clearly and carefully and suggests a way forward. And then the community listen and they respond together, don't they? And as you read further into the chapter, you'll see how they go about nominating two potential leaders. As I read this, I got this real active sense of engagement from the whole community, doing what was right, moving forward. There's a kind of collective receptiveness as they do this. Peter leads through consensus, doesn't he? And it works, and it's a real joy to see. And again, I just wanted to thank you for many of you that have been involved, particularly giving feedback as we reflect on the last year of our church's journey. And doing these activities together is really important as we discern and make decisions. As Baptists, we hold this privilege as a real responsibility that we make these decisions together. It's a shared process. And I just want to encourage you to continue on this journey as we move together with one accord. This particular aspect of being organized reminded me of an African proverb that I've heard, and I don't know if you've heard this at all, but I found it a helpful one for today. And it says this: if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And I think we're going for the wanting to go far as a church, aren't we? And to do that wisely, the African proverb tells us that we need to do that together. It might take longer to go that way, but it's certainly more sustainable. And it certainly is a much better way of moving if we do it together. The final thing I just wanted to comment on about the way the church organised themselves was that there's a real sense of order, isn't there, as you read Acts 1. We get this insight into this first church meeting that they have. That they're trying to deal with a difficult issue that's come up around Judas, who betrayed Jesus. We're listening to a bit of theological wrestling that goes on in the meeting, and also just the way they begin to discern and how they're going to move forward together. It's a really wonderful thing to have bird's eye view into the church meeting. But above all, you get a real sense of a group of people wanting to move in the same direction, united. People who are mature enough to navigate through the difficult issues. That's the reality of church life, isn't it? But to find practical ways of resolving issues. There's a sense of trust amongst them, and the group get behind Peter and the leadership team. They are a community and they're strong together. And it's quite a thing to be inspired by as we work out how to do church ourselves. So, Acts 1, a real exciting moment for the church. I feel their anticipation in this chapter, as well as some of their questions and their waiting. And we do well to learn from them, don't we? Their obedience to Jesus and their patience, the central place they put prayer in the middle of their community. And then their willingness to create order within their community. We see leaders stepping up. People, a group of people that find consensus and allow their leaders to lead. And there's a real active engagement to deal with issues and decisions and a commitment to being practically ready and prepared for all that God has got for them as they move forward. It's a really inspiring church to read about, isn't it? And we could learn a lot from them. And I pray that we will as we move forward as a church. I'm going to be praying that particularly for us today, as we meet and have our church meeting over a meal, that it will be a time of dealing with some important order and mundane things that we need to do, maybe. That are crucial to our church life, and that also there'll be a time for opportunities for us to talk together and to gain consensus and to feel excited as we form a direction and vision moving forward that will take us into 2025. So, as I finish now, I want to leave you with the image of the ship again. We want to position ourselves just like a big ship. We want to let our sails down and be ready for the Holy Spirit to fill them. We want to turn ourselves, don't we, towards God, ready for the Spirit to move us. No half masts for us, but full sails up, pointing in the right direction. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.